This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Indeed we are. Into the happy hour we roll. Woohoo! 5 o'clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby.
Finishing very happy up today.
Yes, very happy. Why are you very happy?
One thing I'm happy about, too, is back at practice today.
Slanging that football around.
I would imagine he's going to play Sunday. If for no other reason, that their only other choice is, like, really? Tim Boyle? I mean, Tua throwing right-handed would be better than that.
Tua's a lefty for everybody out there.
So, yeah, I think he'll play. They haven't announced it officially yet, but he was at practice today.
Good for Tua. Happy he's back. Yeah. Still has people telling him that he should not be playing, and he's going to ignore those guys.
He is ignoring all of them.
Let's finish our Big Five. Little Pat McAfee.
What was the question again, Scrape?
All right, I'll reset it.
Reset that.
I'm just making sure because I wasn't paying attention. Or not paying attention, but you read Buffalo Wild Wings, sir?
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football.
Now, Pat McAfee's on ESPN, and I guess I knew this, but I didn't really think about it until he wrote it, but he licenses his show to ESPN, so they get to broadcast it, but he still keeps the show. But he thought when he went over to ESPN, he was going to have a bunch of NBA people that he could draw from that work for ESPN.
So he could, like, get Tim Legler and people like that to come on anytime.
McMenamin, guys, people like that.
Okay.
And he says it's impossible to get them on the show. The ESPN NBA crew has been rather impossible to work with due to their daily scheduling through the season. Afternoons are tough for the entire group.
Okay.
Now, my question is,
you said he was calling him out when we went to break.
Yes. I'm trying to phrase this the right way.
Just say it how it's in your head.
Should he call out his employer is what you're asking.
Yeah, should he bite the hand that feeds?
You always got to come up with a clever lie. You could have just said, is he being disrespectful?
Should he bite the hand that feeds?
Whose turn is it?
Sure, yours.
It's mine? I don't think he's biting the hands. I think If you recall, he came on, I believe, at the end of the season last year, basketball season, because he had Austin Rivers on there quite frequently. And listen, Austin Rivers was the only one going on that show. So it could be a couple things. The schedules don't line up. Austin Rivers, remember, was new to ESPN at that time. He probably wanted the exposure on a big show.
Yeah.
The rest of the folks that work there certainly don't need the exposure. And if the hours aren't right, you're probably not going to get them.
I mean, we do run into that quite often.
I was just getting ready to say, I run into it often with the morning show when, you know, I'm during the season. They're up pretty early doing it. And it just has to line up the right way. If I'm on the East Coast, it might work. If I'm not, it's probably not going to work. I'm going to want to sleep that time. But you know, I don't know that this was necessary him, because the way you read it sounded like, in his mind, he thought that that would be the case. But now, based on what he said, scheduling is really what's keeping him up.
Can you do this behind closed doors? Go to his boss and be like, hey, we've tried, but it's just not working. Is there anything we can do about this?
I think
instead of going to Twitter.
Yes and no. Because there is a segment of folks that watch his show that would never get the behind-the-scenes look in terms of what's happening.
It's true, it's part of his
show, maybe
too.
He's wanting to explain why they're not covering basketball the way they cover some of the other things. I'm just giving you some other perspectives.
I think that's a good thing, because I think I probably... We here on this show are as transparent as can be. When we're unhappy with something, we will say it. But on the other side, we do know that there are times when we should be talking about this off the air and not on the air. And I guess he didn't talk about it on the air. He talked about it on Twitter. Yeah. Chris, your thoughts.
On who is it? Pat McAfee?
No, okay. I know who it is.
Okay.
I don't like Pat McAfee's show. I don't like his act. I don't like his whole shtick. He's not for my taste. So I don't necessarily care that he's not getting these kinds of guests because I'm not watching anyway. But he's keeping the show for himself, you said, right? The way I understood it is it's still the Pat McAfee show.
Yes.
ESPN is just providing a space for him to carry that show.
Yeah.
Well, then I don't think ESPN owns him anything particularly special.
Maybe that was in an agreement before. Hey, you could have full use of anyone on our staff.
Well, I would assume he would have said that in his argument. I'm just assuming that they're not giving him any extra, increased attention just because he happens to be on their airwaves. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Would this be like similar to me tweeting out, oh, hey, we've been trying to get Padres on the show, but it just doesn't line up. I thought when I came here, I would get Padres on the show, but they're just too busy. I think that would be a pretty bad move for me.
I mean, but in that case, you're kind of going at the whole
organization.
He didn't say ESPN. He was just talking about particularly the NBA portion of it. Now, there is a chance that those guys will look at this tweet and feel some type of way about it.
I would. He doesn't just be... He seems a little full of himself to me. And that's one of the reasons I'm not attracted to his show in the first place.
And I think that's one of the reasons he's very popular.
Good. Those people are not the kind I like. So he'll probably... Look, I mean, I'm not a fan of Soto. He's going crazy. I'm not a big fan of AD. He's having a big game. If I'm not a fan of you right now, you're going to get hot.
You're winning.
Yeah, Patrick McAfee's ratings are probably going to go through the roof. But he's not my style. And I don't think you say what he said.
Yeah, no,
he doesn't just...
I'm
just
not
because
that.
You have a show. It's like Johnny Carson.
Yeah,
well, Johnny Carson's too old. But Jimmy Kimmel saying, why can't I get this actor? Well, I don't know. We don't owe you anything just because you have a show.
I think that's accurate.
All right. That's it. The Big Five.
All right. Big Five.
I think he's going to get what he wants, though, by putting
He
it on
generally... based off of what we've seen, he generally does get... What he ultimately wants.
I think Pat McAfee, when it's over, the shine's going to come off the star, and I think that's going to be it for him. Like, he'll just have this is his moment.
It's a very good
few
moment
years.
For him.
Sure. He's making a ton of money.
Sure.
He's really popular among, I don't think anybody over the age of 30 really is a huge fan.
I would say 50.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, I would say 50.
Somebody 49 years old is getting his shtick?
I have a friend I can think of right now that's 42 years old, and he loves Pat McAfee.
All right. The shtick.
The shtick.
It's good.
How about your boy Tyreek Hill? You see his comments?
I didn't.
Tua's return to the field, quote, almost made me cry. My man has been going through it without Tua throwing him the football.
Oh,
it's been a rough couple of weeks.
It's been the worst I've ever seen. I don't understand. I mean, I know you need a good quarterback. I get it. But the guys that have been with the Dolphins the last 4 weeks are, in the NFL. I don't expect them to be great. And I'm watching games and, receivers are going up 5 yards, cutting over the middle. They're wide open. They throw the ball. You get an 8-yard gain. It's on to the next play. The Dolphins can't even do that. They can't even. I was kidding with Scraby the other day. That stupid screen pass they like to run, which gains 1 yard every time.
They weren't
even doing that.
You're not a fan.
To get Tyreek the ball. I mean, just nothing. I mean, just everything was just so unimaginative. You know, I think great coaches adapt to what they have. And I think Mike McDaniels has not shown me that ability, you know, to adapt to what he's being given. Now, he doesn't have a lot of time, so...
How do you adapt
That's a fair excuse, but if Tua was going to be out for the rest of the year, which was a possibility, Mike McDaniel probably should have done a little something more to try to, you know, to me, fit the people that he had. I mean, you kept hearing everybody like, even Orlovsky came on after one of those games and said, well, they're still running the same offense. They just don't have Tua. Well, they shouldn't have been running the same offense.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to put Tim Boyle in spots.
Now, that, you know,
you really do.
Well, I'll give that a pass because he came in the middle of the game. But Huntley, was it Huntley? Tyler Huntley?
Yeah. Snoop Huntley.
He played three games. Now, by the third game, he should have had a clue what the hell he was doing out there. And it shouldn't have been the same offense. And he should have been able to get one pass to Tyreek Hill.
I agree.
So I blame some of that on coaching. I'm sorry.
Chris has had enough.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had enough of this season, man. It's been I thought last season stunk and the year before when they choked in December, but this one they're just like falling apart from the beginning. Ugh.
It's been one of those, yeah. Been
man,
one of
you
those
got
years.
The Dolphins, you got the Bulls.
Oh, the Bulls are warming up tonight at the 28 win level. My teams in general.
It's been a struggle, man.
San Diego State basketball. God love those guys.
Oh,
thank that's, God. That's your saving grace every time.
That's it, man.
There
that's
is
all
some bad news we haven't talked about yet.
Yes, there is.
Uh-oh.
Did you not see this
in the union today?
I saw it. No. I kind of did. What was it? I didn't see who it was.
Hold on. Let me pull it up.
Somebody's out
I know it
for
was
the
Reese
Aztec
Waters.
Basketball.
It was Reese Waters.
Oh, Reese Waters.
Stress 6 to 8 weeks.
Some type of fracture in his foot.
Oh, boy. That's not good news,
it's not
obviously.
Good. No.
Yeah. 8 weeks? That's 2 months. That's December, Christmas time. If he all goes well and he rehabs perfectly,
you know,
he's ready for...
The foot is
I know,
is
it's usually longer.
Yeah.
It's usually longer. But if it's... Let's just say it's not longer, then he can come back for conference play, which normally starts January 1st or right around there. So that's... I'll try to keep that positive note, but... Yeah, that's not good news for the Aztec basketball. Because they need Reese Waters. He's the one guy... That has
especially
experience
considering,
that's coming back.
Especially considering how much it seemed like, you know, listening to, you know, the folks around that program, how much they were going to be relying on him this year.
Yeah, but you know what? They've been pretty lucky with the injury bug, right, for a while. So, you know, Dutch will just deal with it. And I guarantee you, unlike Mike McDaniels, he won't run plays that are good for Reese Waters when Reese Waters isn't on the team.
You can almost book that.
You can book that, right? So I don't have to worry about that.
All right. Let's get to break. When we come back, we're going to revisit some... we're going to revisit. See, you're giving me hand signals in the middle.
Oh, this
yeah,
has
I got
been...
you. I figured it out. Okay. I figured it out. We're revisiting our picks, preseason Major League Baseball picks. We kind of.
This is where we look kind of stupid.
Yeah, most of the time
year.
We do.
Yeah.
It doesn't usually fail us. So if you're interested in seeing us look stupid, stay tuned. More Gwen and Chris on the other.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To the side.
/5:19 Gwynn and Chris, Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Scraby. Scraby's got the Chronicles coming up at 6 o'clock, so we got stuff for you for the next little while here on 97.3 The Fan. Anything that needs to be promoted here, Scrape?
I don't believe so, sir.
Looks like KSON Country Fest.
Oh, hey, nope. That's the one I told you earlier that we don't not need to read anymore.
Actually, you told me earlier.
He was in the room, and I was announcing it to both of you.
You were talking to me. You weren't really looking at him.
Someone on the chat said one of those red flag commercial things where we could throw the red flag and someone will check on what actually
challenge
happened.
Challenge whether we're right or wrong.
Because we would do it every 5 minutes.
We would.
So this is not read.
No,
not
it's an old read now.
All right, let's go to our preseason baseball picks and see how we did. Scrape, you're going to have to hustle through these.
Yeah, man.
We're not going to talk about every single one of them, but
you have them all.
I have them all.
You put them all here.
No, I did. Just so
we doing in the next segment? Or what are we doing? How is this working? Because we only have about
really like
9 minutes and 30 seconds to do this.
I'm not a big fan of this bed. I got to change it real quick.
It's no float of this bed.
How's one of my favorite players right there, Tony Gwynn Jr.? Ken Singleton. Recall him in any way, shape, or form?
I don't.
Big, tall, switch-hitting outfielder.
He looks like a big dude.
But he could mash from both sides of the plate.
All right, Chris, you're going to help me with the standings, because I don't remember exactly where some of these teams finish in the standings.
Oh, I got you, sir.
Well, we got okay.
I got them right here.
All right, we got the AL East that we did before the year. This was picked, like, in spring training, before Tony took off to Korea.
Okay, who'd we pick?
First place, Tony said the Yankees.
Correct.
So he wins. Chris and I said the Orioles. They did not come in first place. Last place, Tony said the Red Sox. Chris and I said the Rays. Who was last?
Blue Jays.
Wow.
Jays.
Tony got this one right. The MVP.
Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
I was closer than you guys were, that's for sure.
Yeah. Chris said Gunnar Henderson, which for a little bit there, he was all right. Adley Rutschman had pretty step back type of year for
Aaron Judge would have been the MVP of that division.
Cy Young,
so I win by default.
You do.
I was the closest.
Chris and I said Corbin Burns.
He had a
division
year.
Cy Young.
He had a really good year.
And Tony said Carlos Rodon.
He did not have a good year.
The newcomer, I think, were Tony and I are right on, Juan Soto.
For sure.
Chris said Marcus Stroman. When I read this, I was like, what happened to Marcus Stroman?
Great first half start.
But where is he now?
Yeah,
isn't he on the Yankees still?
That's what I thought.
He is on the Yankees. I'm not sure if he's on this roster.
Wow.
That's what happened to old Marcus Stroman?
I don't know. We'll find out one day. NL East, all of us chose the Braves to win the division. They did not.
They were winning it for a while.
For a while.
And then they got hurt.
Last place,
snatched up.
Tony said the Mets. I said the Nationals. Chris said the Marlins.
I was right.
MVP, we were all wrong. You guys said Ronald Acuna Jr. He got injured. I said Matt Olson. Didn't have the year. Cy Young, we were all wrong.
Spencer Strider got hurt before the year even started.
Basically.
All about Spencer.
Chris Sale took over. Now the newcomer, Chris and I said Jared Kelnick.
Terrible.
Tony said Tim Anderson.
Awful. he didn't even make it through the season, did he?
Who would be the newcomer in the NL East?
And in the NL East?
We don't need to know.
You'd have to go through all the
it's
rosters.
Not our guys.
It's hard to do,
Who's in the NL East?
Braves, Mets.
Oh, you know who it might have been?
Who?
Vientos.
Oh, yeah, that's probably.
He was a rookie. Well, named newcomer.
Newcomer.
Yeah. Not bad.
I guess I am just going through each one of these. The AL West, Tony said the Rangers win the division. Chris said the Mariners. I said the Astros.
You got it.
Last place, we all said the A's, which is incorrect. Yeah.
Angels.
Who came in last? Angels did.
Yeah, they did.
MVP, Chris and I said Julio Rodriguez. Correct. Tony said Corey Seager. Cy Young, Tony said Framber Valdez. Chris said George Kirby. I said Luis Castillo.
None of those.
I wonder who would have been the AL West
Logan
guy.
Logan Gilbert.
Oh, yeah. Seattle. He had a good year, for sure.
NL West.
So did Framber, though. I just want to point that out.
Well, Framber did. I think you win that one.
Okay.
We may have to like do something different next year. We're missing on these picks by so much.
That's the fun of it.
We're terrible.
I mean, it just goes to show you, you can't. Baseball's like the hardest to predict
this
stuff.
You're right.
NL West, division winner, we all picked the Dodgers. And you're last place, we all picked the Rockies.
Well, you can count on those Rockies.
We knew our division.
Thank goodness we knew our division well.
For the Rockies. MVP, Tony and I went with Fernando Tatis Jr. Chris went with, I guess, Shohei would be the MVP.
Yeah, I went with
division.
Corbin Carroll. Sorry.
Did none of us really pick Shohei?
No, I guess not.
Did we?
There must have been something right there.
Yeah, because we didn't even mention Shohei in any
not
of these.
Any of these categories.
Cy Young, you had Logan Webb, Tony. Chris had Tyler Glasnow, and I had Dylan Cease.
It would have been none of those. It probably would have been Michael King.
Ooh, could be, yeah.
He probably was the best pitcher in the division, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of. I mean, Logan Webb struggled a little bit down the stretch, but it wasn't any of our three.
I'd say
guys.
You were closest, Scrape.
Dylan Cease.
Yeah.
Newcomer, you said Jung Ho Lee.
Injured.
Yeah.
Got hurt. Shoulder.
He was rounding into four.
He was popping.
Chris and I said Dylan Cease.
It's amazing how many of their picks we had got injured. They didn't even make it through the season.
Do you remember the conversation
half of these guys.
A lot throughout the year was how to keep the starting pitchers healthy because so many of them were gone.
Right.
Before we even got like halfway through the season.
That's true.
That's true.
AL Central. Here, Chris, you have a couple. You have at least one that I saw that was a good pick. First place, Tony and I said the Twins.
They just gagged it up.
Chris said Tigers.
Tigers missed by a lot, but they did get into the playoffs and win a series, which I think was surprising to a lot of people.
We got this next one spot
on. It was the
on.
Guardians, though, that won the division.
Yes.
Last place, all of us said White Sox, which we
beautiful.
All were correct.
Beautiful.
MVP
Chris
of the division.
Chris got this one right.
He got the next two right.
Yes,
Tony,
he did. Yes,
Luis
he did.
Robert Jr. for the MVP. I said Carlos Correa. Chris said Bobby Witt Jr.
Yep. Good job, Chris.
For the Cy Young, Tony said Pablo Lopez.
He was in there for a little bit, but
I said Garrett Crochet.
Chris is correct, though.
Garrett Crochet ended up not pitching by the end of the year. Chris said Tarek Skubal.
How about that?
That's pretty good. Newcomer.
I got both of them.
He said Seth Lugo and Michael Walker.
I'll take
Chris and Jack Flaherty. I mean,
he was good enough to get traded.
He started Game One of the World Series. What do you want?
This is not for the team. Jack Flaherty. I said Stephen Wilson.
Poor Stephen Wilson had a really rough year.
He may never recover from that.
I still feel bad for him. NL Central. Tony and I said the Cubs. That did not happen. The Brewers actually won. Chris said the Reds. Last place. Tony and I said the Pirates.
I think you got that right.
Chris said the Brewers.
I had the Brewers last. A lot of people had the Brewers being way down there.
Pirates last.
But they, Brewers surprised.
I think we missed on our newcomer, though.
Well, I think you got close here.
MVP, Paul Goldschmidt for Tony. Encarnacion Strand for Chris.
Another guy that got hurt like the first week of the season. Never played again.
I said Ellie De La Cruz, but the MVP of that division, does it have to go to Paul Skeens?
No. MVP of the division?
Yeah, no. I can't think of anyone.
There's a slugger somewhere in there.
Which brewer would get it?
I don't know.
Christian Yelich was gone most of the year. Well, newcomer.
Cheerio.
Tony said Rhys Hoskins. Chris said Sonny Gray. I said Jackson Cheerio. So,
that's true.
But the newcomer has to be.
He was a newcomer.
Paul Skeens.
We can make the same argument that you make
for Jackson. It's Jackson Cheerio, okay? Paul Skeens wins no awards.
He's there every day.
He is there every day, and he won me another fantasy championship.
He just had to squeeze that piece in
there,
didn't
he? Sure did. Thank you. But yeah, that's
if you don't stop winning fantasy championships soon, I don't know what I'm going to do. But
the triple champ is here.
So mad.
It makes my skin crawl every time you say that.
I have a feeling that I'm going to backdoor this fantasy football title, too. So
mad.
No shot.
No shot.
No shot. I'm going to win it before you do.
I'm not going to speak, man.
Yeah, I see my team.
Chris is so nervous he's going to jinx himself.
You know that, I want to read you, I don't know if I can make this, and do we have, here, talk for yourselves for a second. I want to read you some pop-off that Cereo wrote yesterday to us.
Cereo likes to pop it.
He did.
He likes to pop.
This is another thing about the Android iPhone. Fantasy football groups will not communicate with the Android. You guys have a big old text chat, right, for the fantasy league, which I am not on.
Okay.
So because it's I'm not
it
a, I'm an
you
Android.
Out? Your name no. is in there.
I'm not getting any of those texts.
Okay, I'm listen to this from Cereo if I can find it. Just keep going for. Oh, here it is. This was yesterday. I posted on Facebook that Lori and I had our anniversary. Put a picture up there. Said happy anniversary to Lori and good for us. We made it. John Cereo reply. One of the many replies we got, and I thank everybody who did reply. His was. Unlike your fantasy teams, love wins.
Oh, wow.
And I'm playing him this week.
That is great. That is great.
That's good banter right
that
there.
That is.
Strong to quite strong.
And for someone who has a 6-1 team like John does, he can do that.
Well, if I whip his butt this week, he'll have to eat those words.
Please do.
I hope I do.
That was a good one, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're kind of getting in on my anniversary celebration. That
he's upset.
Everybody else says, good job, you guys are great.
He wanted to throw in
he
there
had to throw me
take.
Into the bus that I'm a bad fantasy team. I hope we can knock him off this week.
All right. Let's keep the train on the tracks. Oh, it's your turn.
Yeah, let's go.
Go ahead.
What's next, Greg? 5:30 segment could just be crazy. Well, we could hear Dylan Hernandez talking about Fernando Valenzuela.
Yeah.
I thought that's kind of important for today.
Indeed.
Play some of that and wrap things up ahead of Scraby's Chronicles.
2:35 on the clock, Tony Gugino.
2:35. Now we're in Hawaii.
5:35.
You've gone backwards on the time. You're usually ahead of the clock.
Oh, man.
Clearly behind.
I don't know. I've got another 6 hours.
5:35 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Bucks currently ahead right now, 48-37 in the second quarter.
Against the Sixers. Against without Embiid, without Paul George. That's the thing that really does stink about the NBA is that you have to rate every game based on who's actually playing.
You know, I know we're not talking about the Bucks as often. But this is a team to watch out for. Damian Lillard in his second season now. First where he's kind of comfortable. See how he plays.
They still got Giannis on that team. Brooke Lopez.
There's a lot of conversation in the NBA right now that if the Bucks don't show improvement, that Giannis could be on his way out the door. Now, he's signed through whatever, so it would have to come via trade. But Milwaukee... not a team that has a boatload of money to like keep.
I wouldn't
this
give up on the Milwaukee though.
I wouldn't either. That's a good team.
I'd like to see somebody just, you know, shut the Celtics up. But
and remember,
I don't know who it's going to be.
I think it's Budenholzer that's the new head coach there, if I'm not mistaken.
No, Doc Rivers.
Oh, Rivers, that's right.
Yeah, Budenholzer's the old coach.
Is he in Philly?
I don't know where he ended up.
Maybe the Suns?
No,
I think you're right.
Mike Budenholzer? What?
It is the Suns.
Yeah.
Come on.
Nice job.
I told the guys earlier today that I'm going to dip my toe more into the NBA.
Yeah, dip it in there,
year.
Man. Dip it in there. We don't
let it rain. It says Phoenix Suns make key philosophical adjustments under new coach Budenholzer. There you go.
Budenholzer.
You guys look at Budenholzer's face. Take a close look.
Yes.
Craig Elston.
Oh, let me see.
I can see that.
I didn't know you were going that direction.
I can see that.
Oh, my gosh.
I can see that. That's a good call there, Christopher.
He does have a pretty good
resemblance. Budenholzer has a little more edge in his face.
Yeah, I'm not.
A little more edge.
Budenholzer's better looking. Sorry, Craig. If you're out there.
He does kind of look like Craig.
He does look like Craig.
Looks a lot like
him, I
think.
That's a good call.
Yeah. I noticed that many years ago, actually, when Budenholzer was with the Hawks.
The Hawks.
That was very New York of you right there.
I've always thought that. So I'm glad you guys kind of agree with me. I'm not that crazy.
Scrape, did you hear Zion scratch tonight?
Yes, we've talked about it.
I'm joking. That's so funny. I'm being facetious because I know that you enjoy picking at Zion. And
well, you can't help when you get sick, obviously. But it just seems like he's out at some of the biggest moments of this team's season.
Oh, stop it.
One of the other interesting stories in the NBA right now, I don't know if you guys remember last year, the owner of the Minnesota T-Wolves was supposed to sell his team to Alex Rodriguez, and I believe the other owner is Mark Lohr. I think the partner in that.
I remember.
A-Rod's going to be the owner. He was jumping up and down during the playoffs last year.
He pulled, so I don't know if you guys remember, but last year the owner for the T-Wolves, I think his last name is Taylor, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds about right. Mr. Taylor.
Would you go with Mr. Taylor?
My man, Mr. Taylor.
But apparently, Mark Lohr, Alex Rodriguez, who are minority owners, claim they have $940 million in cash ready to wire immediately to owner Glenn Taylor of the Timberwolves.
So they want to own the team, be the majority.
They want to be majority, but Taylor says he no longer wants to sell the team. So,
oh no!
I don't know what you do with that $940 million in cash you got sitting in there, but apparently he doesn't want it.
That's crazy. Can you imagine?
And remember, he changed his mind right as the Timberwolves were like starting to do this. And I think he realized this team could actually be good for a while. So
they
don't
are going to be good.
We'll see how this kind of shakes out. But Alex Rodriguez, who was at the game last night doing the same thing, Chris, in L.A.
Was he? I didn't see him last night.
Over there clapping it up.
Cheering it up.
The T-Wolves did something nice, which wasn't often, as the Lakers rolled in.
Who was ripping him? Stan Van Gundy. T-Wolves, no energy last night.
Yeah, he was. Stan Van Gundy was not impressed with the T-Wolves defense.
He said a couple times it was inexcusable for their defense. I think Stan Van Gundy, I want him to be a coach again.
I think he's
really good as an analyst, and I think he would be a good coach.
I want to see his brother back on the sideline.
I'd like to see them both together. Yeah, How about co-coaches?
That'd be great.
Let them both be jumping up.
The referees
would have a hell of a time with that if you had two head coaches. You had to yell head and yell at you all night.
They were probably two of the better guys in terms of getting on referees. Matter of fact, Stan was having fun getting on the referees yesterday. He was quick to call a non-call terrible.
Oh yeah,
he was all over the referees last night.
It was a good broadcast. I like
Candace Parker.
Yes, I almost called her Cheryl Swoops.
Not Cheryl.
No, Candace. Yeah. I do. She was really good.
With all due respect to both of them, the best part of the broadcast, Ian Eagle.
Oh, of course.
I love Ian Eagle.
He's awesome.
The only thing Scraby doesn't like about Ian Eagle is Noah Eagle.
See, this is the
and
reason.
Again, it's not Noah's fault, but because Noah works as his son, Scraby hates
calling
Noah.
NFL games.
Well,
he's pretty good.
Okay. He's not bad.
The young man is good.
He's gotten the opportunity that a lot of people would kill for, but he's holding his end of the
bargain.
I'm also disagreeing with that. I don't know that we could ever have Ian Eagle on the show again, though.
Why not?
Because of you, basically.
Because you guys would say something.
Oh, we would not.
I would not
embarrass you.
Under the bus like that.
Come on, man.
There's been many opportunities to do it.
We're such a big Ian Eagle fans.
Noah Eagle, I just, like I said with Bronny yesterday.
We already had him on and talked about his son broadcasting, and he talked about how he was proud of him and that he made his own path. We talked about it with him on one of the previous interviews, and we didn't throw you under the bus there.
Had I made my declaration yet?
I think you had. All right. Earlier today, we obviously had to talk about Fernando Valenzuela's passing. We had Dylan Hernandez on of the LA Times to talk a little bit about it. Before we get you to that interview, here's a little traffic.
And indeed, we are joined by LA Times columnist Dylan Hernandez, often kind enough to come on and join us to talk some baseball. And, you know, got the World Series coming up, and the Dodgers just beat the Padres. But I think, Dylan, today, yeah, it's kind of with heavy hearts we have you on. I mean, the passing of Fernando Valenzuela, he's not in the Baseball Hall of Fame, but I think he would be a charter member if there was a Hall of Fame for players that have had impact on, you know, a community, on a country, on a whole group of people. I don't think anybody ever impacted the way Fernando did.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you really have to kind of think too. Kind of hard to tell now, but you know, for a long time there was a lot of distrust between the Latino community and the Dodgers, right? Because you know, Chavez Ravine obviously famously was once a Mexican American neighborhood that got taken over because of eminent domain. I think it was supposed to become like a housing project there or something, and you know, eventually that's where Dodger Stadium sat. So, you know, for decades, the Dodgers were not viewed in the most favorable of lights in, you know, this city that was becoming more and more Mexican with every passing year. And Valenzuela just kind of single-handedly changed that, you know, because, you know, sometimes you have those special athletes, I think, who, you know, kind of can transcend all that, right, and get people kind of involved. And also just, you know, sociology, right, from a society standpoint, you know, there was a time, again, of a lot of immigration and stuff, and there were a lot of discussions about that. And, you know, I think from, you know, it gave a lot of Latino people a sense of kind of belonging here, right? They were proud, right? There was somebody out there in the community doing something at a very, very visible level that they could be very proud of, you know. And I've always kind of said, you know, that the children of Fernando's fans became Oscar De La Hoya fans, you know, and, right? Those are a lot of the people now that are out at the ballpark, and, you know, probably Fernando's fans' grandchildren are now the core Dodger base. So, yeah, you know, and you go out there now, I think the Dodgers say that 40 to 50% of their fan base is now Latino, you know, and yeah, so it's just been kind of a massive thing. And, you know, really, what just kind of struck me, you know, I was 1 year old, you know, year old when Fernando Mania was happening, but I just kind of think about the unassuming, you know, man in the press box, right? You never would have guessed that he was such a big deal the way he kind of carried himself. And, you know, every now and then I had to remind myself, like, dude, this guy, like, changed the world.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I often would have to kind of have the same thought to myself as I walked by him in the booth as he was, you know, doing, you know, the broadcasting side of things. And obviously Fernando had gotten sick here in the last couple of months and took some time away. And you kind of hit on it, Dylan. I mean, Fernando Mania had lasting power. It wasn't just that segment of time. It seemed like when Fernando walked through that stadium, It was almost as if Fernando Mania was still live and present, even today, it's felt like.
Yeah, and it's also not a thing that's just contained to Los Angeles, right, because of, you know, how many Mexican and Mexican-American people are, right, here throughout, you know, not just California, but even throughout the country now. You know, I think if you kind of look at, like, the, you know, the big three of kind of Mexican sports is Hugo Sanchez, a soccer player, right, who had a lot of success in Real Madrid, Julio Cesar Chavez, the boxer, and Fernando, you know. And of the three, Fernando was the one that was kind of able to kind of cross over in the United States, right, and was kind of this symbol of, like, hey, like, we can still kind of be ourselves, yet still kind of find acceptance here, right, and if we kind of go about it the right way and stuff. And so I think from that standpoint, he has, like, a lot of meaning to, like, a lot of people. You know, I think, you know, you always kind of hear people talk about, hey, that guy looks like my uncle or something, you know, right? Except he was a star on a huge stage, you know. And you know, I do think at some level, right, you know, not to sound, like, too corny or anything, because I generally kind of don't like this stuff, but, right, like, I do think at some level, like, representation and stuff like that matters, right? To see somebody, you know, of your background that's successful. And you know what? And it's also been, I think, a good lesson to Major League Baseball, too, right? Because for the first time they saw, hey, you know what? If we actually kind of open our doors and make this sport more inclusive,
yeah,
the bigger it can be. I mean, you can draw a line, obviously, from here to Hideo Nomo to Shohei Ohtani now, right? I mean, you could talk about, you know, Chan Ho Park and now the great Korean players that are in Major League Baseball. And it really has helped, I think, you know, Major League Baseball become more of a global entity than it was before.
Dylan Hernandez, nice enough to join us here, talking about the passing of the legend Fernando Valenzuela. And, of course, Dylan, I'm certainly not in the Latino community. I grew up in Southern California in L.A., but Fernando was more wide-reaching than just the Latino community as well. I mean, I think everyone rooted for Fernando, and when he had that 1981 season, I don't think he had to be a Dodger fan. He brought baseball eyes to the sport. He took over the sport for at least that 1981 season and then beyond, because, you know, just the way he pitched, the way he, you know, went out there and did his thing. And, you know, he was more effective than just as in the Mexican community, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think what's kind of right, the other day, I was down at Little Tokyo, you know, a Japanese TV station that asked me to go down there to talk to them about Ohtani and stuff. And so, you know, a couple of Japanese TV reporters, it's me, and a group of young Latina girls stopped by, and they start screaming about Ohtani. One of them even kind of forced their way in front of the camera to talk about how great Ohtani was. And that's what great athletes do, right? They kind of bring everybody together. Because everybody, when you see greatness like that, everybody wants to be a part of it. Everybody can relate to it. And I think it's really important, especially in a city like Los Angeles, that's geographically so vast, ethnically so kind of broken up, right, and fragmented. The Dodgers have always kind of been, I think, or not always, but, you know, for a long time have been one of these places where, you know what, it's a place for everybody in the city to go to, right? And that's kind of part of this now. And again, now you have people of every possible background cheering for Ohtani, right, just like they did for Valenzuela. You know, just like they did for Kershaw, you know, just like they did for Matt Kemp. And I think that's what special athletes do, right, is that they make everybody kind of get on board, right, on the same train, so to speak, when it kind of seems like we're all traveling different tracks.
About it. Dylan Hernandez joins us, L.A. Times columnist, and, you know, he's passed on at a time where the Dodgers are getting ready to face off against the Yankees. I think he pitched in that 81 series that year. I mean, it's kind of strange how baseball kind of connects these things in the way they do. And this is going to be highlighted even more because of Fernando's passing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty emotional at the stadium. You know, again, I'm guessing there are going to be people crying and stuff, right? It's going to be an interesting... just kind of the way the players kind of take it to. Like I said, he was a pretty unassuming guy, right? I'm not so sure how many of the players on the active roster actually knew him or if they did know him, how well they knew him. But it's going to be, for sure, an emotional time in the stands for people.
Dylan, real quick before we let you go, I mean, you know, his 81 season, he wins the Rookie of the Year. He's a Cy Young Award winner. He pitched five shutouts in his first eight starts that year, and all eight were complete games. It was just an uncanny performance, and he went on to have the kind of career he had with the Dodgers. How should we categorize Fernando's, you know, as a ball player as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think, he burned, very brightly and very quickly, right? I mean, again, there was a very heavy workload that was placed on him early on. That said, I think, again, I wasn't around during those peak years, but the people that saw it tell me about how special it was. Somebody spoke to today kind of compared it to, like, Tim Lincecum, right, which, right, every time he pitched, it was kind of must-see baseball type thing. And, you know, I do think now that because of the way kind of pitching has evolved and stuff, I am wondering if kind of the criteria for kind of Hall of Fame pitching will change down the road, right? Because I'm not so sure you're going to see kind of that dominant ace going 10-plus years anymore. You know, and if those peaks have to be shorter for entry into the Hall of Fame, I think even as a player you can argue it. And definitely from, an impact standpoint, right? I mean, I've always said this. If Bud Selig can be in the Hall of Fame, Fernando Valenzuela should definitely be in the Hall of Fame.
Well said, Dylan.
Yes,
well
sir.
Said for sure. Thanks so much for joining us on a tough day for everyone who follows the Dodgers and people around Major League Baseball. You've been always good to us. We appreciate that, and wish you a lot of fun in the World Series, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you for allowing me to talk about this. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Dylan.
Fernando Valenzuela not only starred for the Dodgers, but right at the end of his career, came to the Padres. As Tony pointed out earlier, 1996, he helped the Padres return to the postseason. Went 13-8 that year for the Padres. Pretty good year. 3.62 ERA. He was 35 years old at the time.
And this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings.
B-dubs.
Wild Wings. B-dubs is football.
Very good. Fernando Valenzuela, also the only pitcher from the country of Mexico to throw a no-hitter. Did you know that?
I did not.
He did throw a no-hitter later in his career with the Dodgers.
I find some of that history, I like history, but I find some of the history very interesting about how the Dodgers didn't have a good relationship with the Mexican people because they took over.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
Right, because they took the land in Chavez Ravine.
Yeah.
That was a really interesting story that Dylan shared with us there. Fernando brought everybody together. That's what he was getting at the end of that interview, that people like Fernando could bring all races, religions, everybody kind of galvanized for one thing,
yeah.
And that was for Fernando Mania. So that's, you know, that's what those people are able to do, and Fernando did it for sure. Won 173 games in his career, pitched, 17 years, 3.54 ERA. I'm just thinking why he's not in the Hall of Fame. He did have six straight All-Star bursts from 81 to 86. His impact, though, will last for a long, long time after this. Scraby Chronicles are next. Tony, take us home. Sorry.
back at it again tomorrow, Thursday night football short show. You guys have a good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.